The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, one more day live here on Radio Row, and we've got them coming fast and furious, so let's jump right in. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, yeah. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center, this is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the bleeping master, back in studio. The ninja trying to keep us on air out here at Radio Row in beautiful Houston, Texas. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. It's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates975. You can text the show also, 713-780-3776. Supposed to have Deontay Wilder here, but he's not here yet. So we'll just see how it goes. About an hour ago, both of us were just like, dude, I gotta get fired up here.
We're hurting. Yep. It's been a long week, but it's not even grinding to an end, though. Here's the deal. I've also got the UFC tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then I've got my game day credential for Sunday, which it's undetermined if I'm going to use or not, but it's exhausting. I'm tired, Fred.
I understand, but I just slammed a whole cup of coffee and I'm ready to rock and roll. So let's do this. We're gonna go big here. But 713-780-ESPN. Good. I want to thank everybody who came out to the big Texas party last night. What do we got here? I want to thank everybody who came out to the big Texas party last night. It was a great time. Met a lot of Blitzers. Everybody had a fantastic time, although I did see one girl who I think may be dead.
Sucks for her, but yeah. She looked like she went out having a good time, right?
Well, she passed out, and they were CPRing her at one point.
Jeez.
And this was only like 20 minutes into the night, right? So it had to be more than
she
alcohol.
She pre-gamed too hard?
Pre-gamed too hard on something, I'm guessing. But it was a good time. I drank a lot of whiskey.
Yeah.
In fact, when I went out for my run this morning, I sweated whiskey. Yeah, I could smell it.
That.
And it's a good time. But I didn't know. My shot clock kind of went off at the end of the night. Said, you know what? If you go home now, you still have a couple at home and chill.
And you'll feel okay tomorrow.
And I did.
We got another party tonight.
Yeah, and I feel great. Can't wait for that party either.
Good.
But I had
four shots of espresso in the last hour. So that should be enough to get me through the last 3 hours of this week and, you know, make it through halfway of the party tonight.
Yeah, I think you'll be all right. I don't know that I'm going to stay past 10.
Okay.
Maybe 9:30. We'll see.
My get me is scheduled to be there at 10:30. So.
Yeah, I think mine is scheduled for, I'll have to check. I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't look for when I would leave because I figure I'm probably going to leave sooner than whatever it's scheduled just because I got to take the wife to the airport in the morning, so I can't overdo it.
Do you have a get me, though, to take you home?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is the wife coming to the party tonight?
Yeah, she's coming.
Okay.
So maybe she'll remember not to bring her Garmin this time. It's pretty funny. She's like all in this black dress and everything and all dressed up, and she looks down. She's got her freaking Garmin running watch on.
Oh.
So not a good look. But we had a great time and hung out with a bunch of Blitzers and drank a lot. I didn't eat much barbecue, though. I have to admit, I tried to get over to Killen's and the line was too long. You know how I am about lines.
You're so lazy.
I'm not going to wait in line.
I waited an hour long line for that, and people were complaining because it was like a 3 or 4 minute line to get that beef rib.
Well,
I would never wait an hour for it. It's not that worth it to me. Sorry.
You're not as big of a meathead as I am.
Well, like, I don't know. I like it, but I'm not going to be crazy.
Okay.
But anyway,
I ate two of those beef ribs last night.
I got to one place and I had their jambalaya, which was fantastic.
You went to the Pinkertons line.
Yeah.
Yeah. That jambalaya was delicious.
Yeah. That was it. That was all I had. Was that and a little
That's
piece
it?
Of brisket. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
So
I had two beef ribs from Killen's. I had brisket from Pinkertons with the jambalaya. I had some brisket and pork belly from Tejas Chocolate. Bunch of great stuff. There was a bunch of good food, bunch of good booze, bunch of that MVP vodka I went with. So it was a good time.
Yeah, it was all about that J.R. Ewing bourbon.
You like that?
I was knocking that out pretty hard.
All right.
So, all right, here he is, Deontay Wilder joining us.
The champ is here, as they would
37-0,
say.
37-0, unbeaten, about to get back in the ring, which we're all looking forward to. How's it going, Chip? How's it going?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
We're living the dream, my man. Not quite right. Like you are, but we're living our version of
hey,
it.
Hey, man, we're all alive and well. We made it.
Yeah,
so,
I love the bling.
Yeah, I know. Everybody,
what's that way?
Man, I don't know. I just been letting people hold it.
I mean, does it hurt your neck at the end of the night?
You know, it's training. It's training
yeah.
for the neck. You know,
I
so
feel like you're walking around with like a 45-pound plate hanging off
yeah,
your neck. I mean, it's crazy.
It's good training for the neck, for the exercise. So when you do have to take a couple of punches, you know, it can just
yeah,
roll
you got
on.
That strong neck. Good
yeah,
for
yeah,
you.
Most definitely, most good. Definitely.
And the big watch is so your right hand will stay like it'll stay heavier, right?
There you go.
I
there
feel you.
Because I injured it. I injured it my bicep and I broke my hand as well too. So
damn.
Everything's good.
Punching somebody.
There you go. Unfortunately,
it happens though.
Yes, it does.
And you still got the better of him, I take it.
There you go. There you
That's
go.
All that matters.
Whooped him with one hand. You know, whooped him with one hand. But it just, when you're the champion of the world, you gotta take desperate measures like that. You know, when you break a hand or break your tear your bicep or something like that, you can't just quit. I mean, you're not just gonna take the belt just like that. You gotta keep going. You gotta disguise it. And that is exactly what I did, and I'm still the heavyweight champion of the world.
Why does Luis Ortiz say you're afraid of him?
I have no idea. You know, I've never been afraid.
He says you're coming up with every excuse in the book not to fight him.
I've never been afraid of a man in my life. Why would I be afraid of him?
Not even your dad?
Not even my father.
Well, I was scared as hell of my dad when I was little.
He'll tear your ass up, but I still wasn't afraid, you know. But, you know, when you're the heavyweight champion of the world, everybody –
You have to figure out a way to rise above the other guys who want that title shot,
correct.
I guess. And maybe saying you're scared is his way of trying to get that attention.
Yeah, of course. Of course, the common thing for people to say is somebody's scared. You know what I mean? But, you know, I've been doing this for a while. You know, even outside of boxing, even growing up, you know, that's scared is nothing that I consider myself – that I have, you know, fear. I always overcome fear if it comes my way. But you know, Ortiz, he can get in line. You know, once he get in that spot, he'll get this. He'll get this work, and he'll get knocked out just like the rest of them.
This next fight coming out, it coming up. You have gone through a lot of possibilities. It seems like, and to land on Gerald Washington, is that official? Is that who you're going to wind up fighting now?
Gerald Washington is official. Yes, you know, all these guys, you know, with these drugs and stuff in their body. You know, and it amazes me. You know, you're already in a sport that already harmful to the body as is when you're taking blows to the head. But why you want to juice up to make it even more worse than what it already is? Luis Ortiz again, you know, he was the one that dope that they might have don't know. But, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand what these guys, what they be thinking. You know, everybody want to be the king. They want to be on top, so they'll do anything. They'll put anything in their body just to get there, you know. So with Gerald Washington, the reason I chose Gerald Washington was it was kind of crazy because, like I said before, you always get guys that do the talk and try to get to the fight or whatever. But Gerald Washington was the opposite. He was the one that was very respectful, champ, you know. I'm ready when you is, you know, what's up, champ? I always shook my hand, you know, I'm ready. So, you know what? I when that fell through, I called my peoples. I said, put Gerald Washington in there. I want to give him an opportunity.
And is that part, you just had one guy who had to drop out because he failed a test. Is that one of the reasons why you want Ortiz to wait in line a little bit, prove that he's going to stay clean?
Almost. He can't, even if he wanted to fight, he can't. He's not even signed up for the WBC boxing clean boxing program, you know. And there's a lot of things, man. It's a lot of these fighters that use a lot of drugs and stuff, even though they don't think people know, people, you know. So when the times come, trust me, you know, my brother just fought him or whatever, and Malik Scott, and I saw that fight and whatever. But Lewis, trust me, Lewis Ortiz is not what people take him out to be. Anybody can go in the ring and try to be aggressive and try to be mean and stuff like that. That don't, like I said, my ear is numb to that. You know, when that time comes, we'll see.
Do you have any interest in fighting the other heavyweight title holders, Anthony Joshua, these guys? I mean, to start to head towards that unification?
Oh, most definitely. My goal is to unify the division. And 2017 looked very promising for that. You know, boxing is definitely a business. It's always been a business. And when it deal with business, there's a lot of people in boxing that makes certain things don't happen. You know what I mean? We already know it's a lot of politics in it and stuff like that. There's a lot of networks don't like this. There's a lot of promotion don't want to work with it. You know,
right.
But I think this year and the years to come, a lot of people are coming around and a lot of things is unfolding where people can work together. The fights can happen, what the fans want to see, you know what I mean? So I'm all about it because I'm really tired of seeing so many belts, so many places. Sometimes people get confused, you know. They don't know which is which and what is what, you know. And if they got one name, one face, one title, that's Deontay Wilder, then, you know, it's easy.
I got to ask you how you feel about this when you watch other heavyweights fight. But I put myself in your shoes, and I would think this time a year, 2 years ago, the biggest possible fight for you was Klitschko. He loses, and that makes a fight with him a little bit less appealing than it would have otherwise been. And I'm guessing that's probably the biggest money fight that could have been made for you if it were to be made. When a guy like that, who you see is a guy that people have respect for as a champion, it would have been a big money fight for you. When that guy loses, does it bum you out a little bit because now you know that there's a little bit of gleam taken off that fight?
Not necessarily, because, you know, you got other hungry lions coming up. And then, you know, with that being said, the one that took the belt from him, now you want him, you know.
So
it always falls in whoever next in line, you know. So you really, you know, only thing you can be bummed out about is not being able to have that guy on your resume. You know
right.
what I'm saying? And taking it from somebody that had it well over a decade or so.
Right.
You know, you take the bragging rights away, but far as that, you know, you just go on to the next one because there's always going to be bigger fights to be made. There's always going to be bigger money to gain from it. So it recycles itself around. You know, if you're in this business just particularly for money, then, of course, you'll probably be bombed out or whatever.
Right.
But like I said before, it rotates and penetrates around again. So now, you know, Klitschko may not be the big fight with the bigger money now.
It's
other opportunities now and stuff like that, you know. So
the last few years, we've seen fights that people have clamored for years. We saw Mayweather-Pacquiao a couple years ago. Huge disappointment, but we still got to see it. We saw Kovalev-Ward this last year, which was – I think one of the best fights that could have been made and really one of the closest, best contested fights. Do you think there's a fight for you like that in the heavyweight division? Do you think there's an opponent that would make a mega fight that would make the heavyweight division feel as relevant as it did, you know, in the 90s and really predating that?
Well, you know, when we talk about back in the 90s and stuff like that, you know, everybody, the best fought the best then, regardless.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be hard to really compare the two because we can only work with what we have now, you know. And I think the biggest fight and the most I hear all the time that the fans want to see is me versus Joshua, and that can definitely happen if everything goes well with the Klitschko fight and Joshua. It's already being promoted, you know. Showtime already trying to come, both of us with Showtime, and everybody want that fight to happen.
Right.
I want that fight. So it's all going to be up to Joshua to see if he really is what they hype him up to be, because his country hypes him up to be totally bigger than what he really is. You know what I mean? So we'll see what happens. He got a big task in front of him, April the 29th, and we'll see what the future holds. I would love to have a unification bout against him.
If Klitschko beats him, does that Klitschko fight become appealing to you again?
Yeah, Klitschko, of course.
Because he's still the biggest name in the division, is he not?
I won't say the biggest. I wouldn't say the biggest name.
Who's the biggest name opponent for you that you could think of right now?
Like I said, I'm going to go with the Joshua.
Really?
That's the only thing people talk about. That's the only thing people talk about.
Well, because he's got, you guys both have that zero.
But
I'm saying if that gets taken away, then the Klitschko becomes the biggest name fight for you, right?
Well, of course, because he have the other two remainings of the belt.
Right.
You know, and then the one would be the one with the Joseph Parker guy.
Yeah,
I think that's his
Australian
name.
Australian guy.
Yeah, which that's in my perfect world, this is why I would have it work out. I defend my title February the 25th, which is going to be on show, in Birmingham at the BJCC on Fox Prime Time. Once I beat him, we already talks with Parker people now. They talking fighting in April, maybe in Vegas or something. I would love to turn around, fight him, beat him for that title. Now I have the WBO and the WBC, and take the winner of Joshua and Klitschko, we'll have the IBF and the WBO.
Oh.
Put them all together at the end of the year.
It
and have
happen.
A massive unification bout. That's what I want to see. So we'll see how it go. I know it's a lot of mandatory stuff going on and different things like that. So, but all in all, it's coming around. Like I said, people are starting to work with each other now, you know, that didn't work with each other before. Networks are starting coming out. So it's looking good. It's looking real good.
It's the heavyweight champion of the world, Deontay Wilder. Best of luck to you coming up this month. And hopefully 2017, like you said, we can see a unified heavyweight champion, which I would love to see. It's been a long time since we've had one. I think it's time to get that back. So best of luck to you, man, and we'll talk to you next time around.
Oh, man, my man. Thank you so much. Y'all have
a
good one.
You too.
All right.
All right, guys. I got to John, we're going to have to hold that for the next one. I'm sorry. I don't have it pulled up.
All right, we'll come back with it. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is Sprint Week. Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5.
Now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5. Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Radio Row, brought to you by Sprint. And joined now by former linebacker with several teams. I remember him most as a Steeler, Patriots, and Chad Brown joins us. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Doing really well. You look like you can still get out there, man. Take care of yourself.
The looks are deceiving. You know, as a former player, I like to look like I could still play under the full understanding there's no way I could still play.
So your career there, at the end, you kind of bounced around with the Patriots a little bit at the end. Did it was a situation where you decided, you know what, I'm done with this, or was it a situation where you just kind of like, okay, I don't think I'm going to be able to sign with anybody else. But what made you make the decision, or was it made for you?
To retire?
Yeah.
I had teams interested in me for year 16 to come back. I just really felt I was beginning to play on skates. You know, the stability in my knees and my ankles and my feet. I tore my Lisfranc ligament in year 10 of my career. I broke my left fibula year 12. And, you know, Father Time is undefeated. And, you know, to play linebacker for 15 years, very high contact position, towards the end I thought, you know, to what benefits versus the possible risk? The risk-reward ratio was starting to get out of whack. I thought, if I can escape this game and not have a torn ACL or knee injury, which I was lucky enough to do, that would be a good thing. I was chasing that ring those last couple years. I was no longer the player that I once was. I was a role player when I got to New England. Bill Belichick kind of found a role for me there. But, again, it just became down to the point of I don't think I can do this for another full season safely.
You know, you mentioned you were chasing that ring, and it's almost unbelievable that you didn't end up with one because you played with, I mean, three of the best franchises in football for your entire career, Pittsburgh, New England, and Seattle. And all three of those teams, whenever you were on them, they got really close several times and just were never able to make it over that hump.
I'll give you the heartbreaking saga. After year 12 in Pittsburgh, I break my fibula. I only ended up playing a couple of games that year. I was a big salary guy. I was a big free agent signing to Seattle. So they wanted to cut my salary as a player. I couldn't help but be hurt and offended. How dare you ask me to take a pay cut? I'm leaving. So in the meantime, I start kind of negotiating with Seattle. I fly out to Pittsburgh, do a visit with Pittsburgh, And in the end, end up signing with New England to go to New England, thinking that's going to give me the best chance to get a ring. They're coming off two Super Bowls, 2003 and 2004. Well, who do the Patriots play in the playoffs? The Denver Broncos, where I live, and I had talked to Mike Shanahan about signing with the Denver Broncos. We lose to the Denver Broncos. The Broncos lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who do the Pittsburgh Steelers beat in the Super Bowl? The Seattle Seahawks. I'm like, I can't get any closer to this thing if I even tried. Year 14, I go back to New England. I end up breaking my hand the first day of training camp in pads. They end up releasing me with the last cuts. I end up signing back with Pittsburgh. The plan was for me to go back to New England the entire time and play with them. Bill Belichick had a role for me. I was going to be the nickel linebacker in Pittsburgh. A linebacker blows a knee on the second game that I'm there in Pittsburgh. Bill Cowher says, I need you all season long. I'm like, my kids are in school in New England. I'm paying for private school in Denver. Bill Belichick's got a role for me, but I got to be here in Pittsburgh. And you don't want to turn down Bill Cowher and the Pittsburgh Steelers and $1 million a year. But I'm like, I think I got a better chance of getting to the Super Bowl if I go back to New England, Bill. So who they lose to the Colts in the playoffs. But what happens? They isolate Dallas Clark on the nickel linebacker, the role I was supposed to play for New England. Next year, 2007, the perfect season. I'm back in New England. And the season doesn't end so perfectly with the loss to the Giants in the Super Bowl. So the Super Bowl saga at the end was just very, very painful.
I mean, honestly, when you say, oh, yeah, I was in the NFL for 15 years, played for Pittsburgh, New England, and Seattle, I bet most people just assume that, oh, he won a ring.
Everyone assumes I have a ring. Yeah. I've got a national championship ring from the University of Colorado. I've got a Super Bowl loser
ring championship ring
from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Speaking of Colorado, I mean, how impressed have you been with the turnaround of that program? Because basically since that national championship that you won, it had been a total disaster there. And then for them to come back and do what they did this year and really build that thing up over the last two or three years, what were your thoughts on what they've done there?
It's really been phenomenal. And not even the last two or three years, really this year. So the same players who just two or three years ago could not compete at a Pac-12 level, weren't big enough, weren't strong enough, weren't fast enough, worked themselves in the position to end up winning the Pac-12 South. So kudos to that entire program, the weight staff, the nutrition staff, those coaches developing those players, because none of those guys were 4- and 5-star recruits. Mike McIntyre didn't change the program around with, you know, some incredible recruiting class. He changed it around the old-fashioned way with hard work and developing players. Now the recruits are starting to pour in. I think the success, it will be sustainable because of that recruiting process where they are right now. But a lot of credit goes to that entire program, getting those players to where they are now, where they actually go out and win the Pac-12 South.
It was nice to see the Pac-12 being won by someone not called USC, Oregon, or Stanford as well. I mean, to see some fresh blood in there, Colorado and Washington, too. I mean, when you were playing, Washington was another great program in college football, too, and they both kind of rose back at the same time. I found that kind of interesting.
Yeah,
as well.
We won the championship in 1990. We shared it in 1990. They shared it in 1991. Both programs fell on hard times, some bad hires, some bad recruiting, and now both getting back to the pack, the top of their respective divisions of the Pac-12. So it's going to be a good battle from here on out. Those other teams you mentioned are fighting to get back to the top as well. So
USC looks so loaded.
Yeah, you know, we always talk about the SEC as kind of the cream of the crop in college football, but I think there can be some arguments made, particularly over the next couple of years, that'll be the Pac-12 maybe the best conference in football.
Could be. Tell us what you got going on here with this the health study, the football players' health study.
So the Harvard football players' health study. My job as
smart guys, Harvard, right?
Yes. My job as an advisor to that study is try to bring in as many players as I possibly can. The more players we have, the more data we can provide to these big brains at Harvard to do what they do. I've got Dr. Pasquale Leone with me. He's the head of the program. And, you know,
he looks like a smart guy.
He is an incredibly
smart guy.
Look at that head, that big round head. You know, it's just filled with knowledge.
Yeah, he's an incredibly smart guy. So, again, you know, we've got 3,300 plus players signed up. We're 75 players away from being the largest health study ever done on former players. So we bring in all these players, and they provide the data, which then these smart guys come up with ways to use that data, come to some conclusions, and help the game of football, former players, current players, and the future players.
Yeah, what do you think of the – I mean, and I'll ask you, Doctor, do you feel like football – because I've got a 9-year-old kid, I've got a 4-year-old son. They both talk about playing football. My wife, not really thrilled about the idea of it. Do you think football is going to get safer, or is it just getting more and more dangerous?
So I really think that there is a lot of evidence that football has gotten safer. You know, that the clubs, that the league, that the Players Association is helping address safety. Think of the protocols for concussion. I'm a neurologist, and so things are being paid attention to by the rulemakers. Our role is to actually identify the truth about what are the health risks, but also the health benefits of football. There are lots of good things that come from playing a sport and playing it at a high level, as good as one can in a team sport like football. Football is the American sport for a good reason, because we learn values from it that go beyond the benefits of the individual playing it. So we need to address the safety of football. We need to do the right thing to understand how to best diagnose, treat, and prevent the health problems for former football players. But our role is to identify the truth about it, and then let the rule makers change the game
based
on science rather than based on fear or public relations pressures.
Well, I'm all for making the game safer. Tell people where they can get information on your program.
So if you just simply Google Football Players Health Study at Harvard, you'll get to our website. That's probably the simplest way to do it. If you're interested in learning about the safety of football, if you're interested about learning about the former players, you can find it there. If you're a former player, this is a study that is focused on the whole player for the whole life. It's a study that is guided by the players. We take advice from the players and have our priorities shaped by what is important to them. And what we want is for every single former player to join the study, to give us 12 minutes to tell us what is the most important things of their health. And it's an independent study. The information is protected, and we're committed to returning information to them.
All right, gentlemen. Well, we appreciate the time, and it sounds like a great program, and hopefully some more former players will check it out.
Well, thanks for having me on. And just one thing to your wife, if she doesn't want your son to play, I understand she's worried about injury possibly to him. But he'll be missing out the incredible lessons of the game. And Doctor just talked about some of those lessons. Hard work, discipline, sacrifice itself for the team, working together to achieve something bigger than you can ever do on your own. Those lessons will far outlast his time in the game. Those lessons instruct me every single day in my life, in my business life, in my personal life. I would hate for all these kids in America to miss out on those lessons because, you know, guys who played the game 10, 15, 20 years ago are having issues. I understand mom's a little afraid, but let's not miss out on the big lessons of life.
All right. So, Chad Brown, thank you very much. Good stuff, guys. And they're trying to get you guys to leave, so I guess we kept you too long. But thanks a
thank
lot.
You so
thanks,
much.
Guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Got to tell you about my friends at MyBookie. If you want to get in on the action this weekend, this is your last chance. Last chance to get in on football for the year. Well, you can bet on all kinds of stuff. You got a hunch on who's going to win the coin toss, what color Gatorade the winning coach is going to be wearing. Log on now. Check out all the props at mybookie.lv. Don't just watch the game. Lay down some money and be a part of it. Join me and thousands of online players and start betting at MyBookie. You can go to mybookie.ag and go to mybookie.lv. They'll take care of you. It's an industry-leading online sports book. Its players enjoy the fastest payouts in the business when they win. And I'll tell you what. That's the best thing. I'm still waiting on a check from another website from months ago. That's how slow they are. That doesn't happen with MyBookie. You got it in a couple of days. MyBookie.ag, industry-leading online website. Check them out. Make the switch. You win, they pay without any hassles. You're wasting your time betting anywhere else. And right now they're giving away up to $3,000 to every new player. Sign up today to score an instant 50% bonus on your first deposit. That's right. To join with 100, you'll get $150 bankroll to play with. Use promo code FRED to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie today or call 844-900-BETS. That's MyBookie.
This is Sprint Week. This is a Zadok Jewelers ESPN 97.5 Sports Update.
Zadok Jewelers, Houston's premier luxury jeweler for more than 40 years.
Here's Matt Pauley.
This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5. Tune in to Joel Blank starting at 1 live from Radio Row. Super Bowl 51 is Sunday at NRG Stadium. All the media obligations are done for both teams. All we can do now is wait till kickoff, just a couple days away. All right, let's go to basketball. The Rockets lose at home to Atlanta last night, 113-108. This one stings. They had a 20-point lead, and Dwight Howard, 24 points, 23 rebounds in his return to Houston. The Rockets back in action tonight when they play host to Chicago. The Spurs defeat the Philadelphia 76ers last night. Greg Popovich ties the NBA record for most career wins with a single franchise. This update is brought to you by Root Sports, your home for Houston Astros and Rockets coverage. Visit rootsports.com for local channel listings.
Hi, quarterback Doug Flutie here. When I played pro football, practically every game involved getting poked and prodded and giving blood. Kind of like buying life insurance used to be. Thankfully, buying life insurance is a lot less painful now with Simplified Life. The new, simpler, quicker way to buy life insurance. With Simplified Life, you can get up to $500,000 in coverage right over the phone. That means no medical exam and no blood work required. Get quotes from some of the nation's top carriers and get approved in as little as 30 minutes with Simplified Life's unique process. Simplified Life offers life insurance coverage of up to $500,000 with no medical exam or blood work. What could be more simple than that? Don't pass up your chance to protect your loved ones without all the unnecessary roughness. Make it simple with Simplified Life.
Call Simplified Life today, 855-88-SIMPLE, 855-88-SIMPLE. That's 855-88-SIMPLE. Or visit simplifiedlife.com.
The big game week, the 28th to the 5th. Come in with your buddies and check out the Texan machine gun experience at Boyert Shooting Center. Boyert Shooting Center is Houston's most elite indoor gun range with the largest selection of machine guns in the city. They're rolling out the big guns for the big game. At the Westheimer location, minutes from the Galleria, experience the thrill of shooting all kinds of machine guns like belt-fed machine guns, Tommy guns, Thompsons, AK-47s, MP5s, and more. Packages start at just $37.50 per person. Book your experience today at Boyert.com, B-O-Y-E-R-T.com.
From the ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center, 290 westbound at Fairbanks, there's an accident in the HOV lane, and there's still a stall on 59 southbound at Bel Air. This report is brought to you by KFC. KFC's new Georgia Gold Chicken, tasty, tangy, honey mustard barbecue that you can eat. KFC, it's finger-licking gold. At participating KFCs for a limited time, prices may vary, tax extra. The ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center is brought to you by Uberito, home of the $5 Chicken Burrito Monday. Uberito, above and beyond your basic burrito.
This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5. Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center, this is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. You can text the show at 713-780-3776. I want to remind you we are on Radio Row, brought to you by Sprint.
Sprint.
It is Sprint Week.
I didn't wear my Sprint shirt again today.
I know.
I know I'm probably going to be in trouble.
That's all right. I'm kind of cutting you off on the camera so they can see my Sprint shirt.
Okay, good call.
Yeah, take care of the team here. Well, we're supposed to have a guest, but it doesn't look like we do. So while we have a little time here because we're pretty packed the rest of the way, I want to take a second to thank some people who have been working out here all week and helping us out. Nick Sharara, who left already, so hopefully he's listening in the car, but he worked his butt off this week. He's been fantastic. A lot of these guys, you know, you hear their names sometimes, but they really have done a fantastic job for us. Kirsten, who's also been out here all week, gets out here at 6 in the morning. She's been extremely helpful. Will Battleship, who I will never pronounce his last name, who is running around getting guests, doing a great job. Conrad, who's also been out here. And the guys at Channel 13, I mean, just everybody has worked really hard this week, including Ninja. And I'm not blaming him for what happened the other day, but, you know, he takes the blame anyway because he's here.
You saw me save the day, though, right? No. When Adam Sandler and Tracy Morgan got here and he wasn't here. You saw who figured this out?
Yeah. And
I went to audio engineering college for that. That's why I was able to do it. Yeah, I went to a music college just so I could turn that mic on.
Well, and that's the thing. He's a ninja. He disappears. Yep. And then all of a sudden you look up and he's standing over your shoulder when you're saying bad things about him.
But I saved the day. Don't worry. Worry not. I saved the day.
Yeah. So I think that was everybody.
Kirsten took all my stuff home and then brought it back for me today because I didn't have anywhere to put it at the party. So she's the real MVP too. And she got me a hat when they were walking around passing out hats and I wasn't here. So she's taken up. She's taken about three steps up the ladder in my book this week. She's done a good job.
Yeah, she really has. And also AD, who was out here for a lot of the day earlier.
Conrad takes pictures like a girl, by the way.
Yeah, he also kind of dresses like
so
one.
Carson. Yeah, he does dress a little bit ladylike.
Yeah,
Carson Wentz, who's a very tall man, was sitting here with it was either with Granado and Sean or maybe with Barry and Joel, and Conrad goes up to try to take a picture with him, and he doesn't stand up. So like Carson Wentz agrees to take a picture with him, but doesn't stand up, and Conrad's pretty short, so he like does it. I swear it's the exact pose that women do, like where he stuck his ass out, like bent over, stuck his ass out, and put his hand on his knee, and like smiled. It's like every picture of like a bunch of sorority girls like in a circle, they're all like, "Hey, it's me next to someone famous with my ass sticking out. Oh my god!"
Did you see those?
That was the picture that he. That's the picture he took, and I think he like cropped everything out to post it so people wouldn't see his little limp wrist and his ass sticking out. But yeah, he takes pictures like a woman.
Well, he dresses like one too, so why would you expect anything different?
Yeah. And he also took a picture in the bathroom with Drew Brees yesterday, which I still find so disturbing. It's like, I don't care who you are.
He was locked in on Brees' penis too.
I don't care how famous someone is. You don't bother them. You don't approach them in the bathroom at all, ever. It's like the worst thing you can do. It's the biggest gaffe in dealing with celebrities is talking to them or approaching them in the bathroom. I don't care if like Paul McCartney was in the bathroom. You don't like, "Hey, Paul, you're like the greatest band of all time. I love everything you've ever done. Can I get an autograph?" And he's like, "Oh, sure. As soon as I put my pecker away, I'll sign that for you." I mean, no one does that. It's the worst thing you can do.
You know who would never do that? Sean Salisbury.
No.
Who's out at Sprint. We were talking about being at Sprint. What's up, Sean?
What's going on, guys? Yeah, when I'm in the bathroom, one hand on and then one hand above. No, I ain't getting no autographs in anybody's bathroom. So,
but you, as a famous guy, like when you were in the NFL, did anyone ever bother you for autographs or pictures while you were in the bathroom?
Yes, and then they also want to. It's happening. They also want to shake your hand.
Oh!
You know, after they get off, they say, "Well, can we wash our hand or go outside?" That's when you do the old fist bump or the forearm bump. So
the elbow bump. Yeah.
The weirdest. Yeah, that's exactly right. The weirdest places. Like, can you maybe hold off for 5 minutes till we walk out in the middle of the area? No bathroom. No bathroom autographs. No bathroom selfies. Guys, I'm out here at Sprint at 20225 Highway 59 North in Humble. I'm with Big Ray Childress. Boy, they love him here at Sprint Store. So come on out. You get for $50 a month now, get the unlimited data, talk, and text. $50 a month. It's unlimited freedom, and it's going on right now for a limited time only. So come on out here. And then they got all the phones and all the GoPros and everything here in the Sprint Store. So 20225 in Humble off 59 North. And I got Ray Childress here and Sprint, and the fans love him. They've been lined up outside waiting on Ray, and he's been here signing autographs and been engaging his all out.
What's he look like? What's the bod like for Ray Childress these days?
Ray's going about 6'6 plus, 250. He's from dominant defensive lineman, former teammate of mine, to dominant defensive lineman to tight end body now. And no, dude, he looks like $1 million. The football's been good for Ray because post career's been good to him too. He looks like $1 million, man. I might even be bigger than he is right now. He's doing
Sean,
good, though.
Tell us one more time the address. Tell us one more time the address where you're at.
20225 on Highway on 59 North, right there in Humble. It's right in the mall parking lot, guys. You can't miss it.
All right. We'll talk to you later, Sean.
Sprint Store. Right. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, buddy.
And thanks to Sprint.
Yeah.
Sprint week out here, baby. Sprint, 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 Sprint.
I also want to thank GetMe for getting us around here the last few days. Those guys have done a great job. And download the app. No surge pricing. You're not going to get hosed like you did if you, you're using those other services. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
MVP Vodka is Houston's first-round draft pick.
Risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back?
This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5. Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center, this is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at ESPN975.com. Boy, they're cheering for us over there.
I think they're cheering for Mr. Gronkowski.
Oh, that's too bad. I kind of thought that was for us.
No, damn. I don't think so.
All right. Well, hey, man, we got to talk about this Baylor thing. It's something that you were on from the very beginning. And, yeah, I was you know, needed to be convinced. I don't know how much more convincing anybody would need.
I mean, what do you need now?
Honestly. And there's so many apologists out there. You guys have to be incredibly embarrassed, because this guy should never coach again. He should never be around any college age or high school age anythings again. And if you haven't seen the story, go read the text messages. It removes any and all doubt. And all these other guys that work for him, those guys ought to be next.
And I know there's no easy way to talk about what should happen, but I'm of the belief that Baylor should at least not play football for a year. I know that's a crazy harsh punishment, but it goes so deep into that program, and there were so many people who turned a blind eye to it. There has to, I mean, this isn't like, you know, paying players under the table. This is people's lives that have been ruined by what happened there, and you can't let football be the biggest thing. You can't. And I know, and honestly, the only way I can think to really, and there's no way to like, you know, taking away a football season isn't going to make it up to these women, but maybe that's a harsh enough and a stern enough shot to let other programs know this is unacceptable. You can't let this happen. And I don't know what other punishment you can hand down that would be strong enough to discourage this ever happening.
No, again. I think last year would have been the year to do that. And because you've already moved out all those people. And I think the bigger issue is this is criminal stuff.
No doubt.
You've got cops who covered things up.
Our Brown should probably be going to jail.
That to me is the bigger issue. It's not about football anymore. This is about covering up crimes. And I you know, him going around on that tour of his to NFL camps and stuff like that and talking to the media just looks worse and worse day by day. And, I mean, honestly, I just am so disgusted by all of this. And I don't know that Baylor itself is where the punishment should go at this point. I think all of those people should be punished.
Players, coaches, everybody involved. There has to be something done, and it has to be it can't be a warning. It can't be a slap on the wrist. It's out of control. And now it's undeniable, in my opinion. There's enough.
There's really nothing you can – there's nothing you can say. Here's some of the texts.
Like, just stop lying about it at this point, yeah. Right? Now it's – you can't say, oh, I don't know what they're talking about, because now we've got this.
And it's not as bad as – it is that bad. It says – February 11th, 2013, an assistant coach notified Coach Briles of a claim by a female student athlete that a football player brandished a gun at her. Coach Briles responded, "What a fool, she reporting to authorities. She's acting traumatized, trying to calm her now, doesn't seem to want to report, though." Coach Briles then texted, "You going to talk to the player?" The assistant coach concluded, "Yes, sir, just did. Caught him on the way to class, squeezed him pretty good. That matter was never reported." Another one. Went to get a massage. Player supposedly exposed himself and asked for favors.
Like the team trainer?
No, this was a masseuse.
Okay.
Not with the team trainer. Says, "Masseuse has a lawyer but wants us to handle with discipline and counseling." Coach Coach Browell's first response was, what kind of discipline? She a stripper? And then basically it was a spa, and then Coach Browell wrote, not quite as bad. She a stripper. That's his first thought.
Can we just – okay.
I got a better one.
Can we just – okay, go ahead. But let's just get to what's real. Art Briles is a piece of trash.
He's a horrible human. He is a horrible human.
He's a trash can. I can't call him what I want to say, but he is a scumbag. No. He is the epitome of a scumbag. And in a world in the world of college football, coaching is a scummy, sleazy world to begin with. There's a lot of bending rules and things like that.
There's a lot of bad people that are head coaches, but this
Art Briles, he is subhuman as far as I'm concerned.
This one, September 20th, 2013, a player was arrested for assault and threatening to kill a non-athlete. A football operations staff official tried to talk the victim out of pressing criminal charges. Meanwhile, Coach Browell's Texas athletic director, Ian McCraw, just talked to the player. He said Waco PD was there, and they were going to keep it quiet. Wasn't a setup deal. I'll get Schill, that's Schilling Law, to check on Sibley, who's a local attorney. And athletics director Ian McCraw replied, that would be great if they kept it quiet.
You know what the best part and the saddest part is? There's going to be people tweeting us now at us with green and gold avatars saying there's still no proof. You guys are perpetuating. I mean, it's the worst that people are willing to like. You care about your football team that much that you're willing to be like, oh, chicks got raped. Dudes had guns pulled on them. No big deal. It's football. We needed those guys. Stop. Grow up. And honestly, if you've got a green and gold avatar, you may want to just go into hiding for a little while because it's not going to be good for a while.
Well, and to me, it's not even about Baylor anymore. This is about Art Briles and his people doing this stuff and the people that were there. And, yeah, it happened at Baylor. I think it could happen anywhere. But these are horrible people that need to be dealt with. And, you know, I have nothing left to defend him with.
Nope.
So, there was one with a freshman defensive tackle was cited for illegal consumption of alcohol. Said, hopefully he's under radar enough they won't recognize name. Just trying to keep him away from our judicial affairs, folks.
Yeah, so luckily this player isn't like a big star. So,
yeah.
You know, if a big star rapes a chick, that's probably likely to make some waves. But this guy, he's a backup. No one will ever find out. It's so vile.
Yeah, I'm pretty disgusted by it. Who is it that they're
Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah, he's hanging around. All right. So,
yeah, Gronk was over here too. That's what all the you heard all those chicks screaming. Gronk is here. I'm guessing he probably took his shirt off or something. I don't know what he did, but
well,
Gronk gets the ladies wild.
All right, guys.
I bet there's a lot of chicks who, given the chance, like to choose between Gronk or Brady, like just for a one-nighter. Obviously, if you're going to marry one, Brady's the choice. But for a one-nighter, I bet more chicks would take Gronk than Tom.
I probably would.
You're a Gronk guy?
Yeah. All right, guys, and you know where you could take him if you want to buy some really cool stuff is Darling Way. And, guys, if Thanksgiving's coming – I mean, Thanksgiving, jeez, Valentine's Day. Thanksgiving, what the hell? This is what happens on Friday at the end of the week. It happens every year. I always do something like that. Let's try this again. Valentine's Day is coming up. And if you want to go someplace different and get something that is going to be great for both of you, better than flowers, better than any of that stuff, you want to go to Darling Way because they've got everything there. And Beth is there. She's great. She can help you pick out the things that will make your relationship better. And that's really what she's there for. And they have so many cool things to choose from. And there's all kinds of things that you can buy. And this is about romance, man. It's about romance and doing really cool things together, improving your sex life, improving your relationship, having fun, being flirty, all of those things. This is a really unique place. It's very – when you walk in, you're going to see this really classy place, and then you're going to look at the prices and say, wow, these are really reasonable. And that's what she does. She's got everything you could possibly want. It's indulgence for both of you. Go by and visit them today, 3423 White Oak in the Heights. They're open till 7, Tuesday through Saturday, or check them out at darlingway.com. And don't forget to catch Beth every Wednesday, 6:15, as we do Pillow Talk. That's darlingway.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.